This is Seismic Sessions, enabling the financial services industry, a podcast show dedicated to two things, revenue enablement and the financial services sector. Join us as we feature experts and leaders across the financial services industry who discuss innovative and impactful ways to sell, market and deliver memorable client experiences through enablement. Let's get this Seismic session started.
Hi, and welcome back to our Seismic Sessions podcast, where today we'll be looking at the importance of marketing in a downturned economy. I'm your host for today, Rachel Rowe, Regional Vice President at Seismic. I am joined, as always, by my colleague, Gemma Livermore, Head of International Financial Services Marketing here at Seismic. Hi, Gemma.
Hi, Rachel. Nice to be here again.
Likewise. Lovely to have you here. We're also joined by Caroline Erickson, UK Head of Marketing and Communication at ABN AMRO. Welcome, Caroline.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Caroline. And Amy Cole, Head of Marketing at ClearBank. Thanks for joining us today, Amy.
Great to be here.
So to kick us off, let's get started with an icebreaker. What does enabling the financial services industry mean to you? Caroline, if we could come to you first.
I think for me personally, it's always that balance between creativity and regulation. And I think I try to armor myself and the teams with that knowledge from the regulatory side so that you can be as creative as you want, I guess, within those regulatory kind of frameworks, if you like. But I think for us, any marketer in financial services are always going to have that balance. And I think knowledge is key. And so the more you know about the regulatory landscape, the better you can be creative within it.
Thank you, Caroline. And that's a really interesting point to start with, that tension, I guess, between regulation and creativity. So thanks for surfacing that one. Amy, what does enabling financial services mean to you?
Yeah, I think, as Caroline says, I agree completely. There is a balancing act between regulation and creativity. And our role as marketers is to make sure that we're on the right side of that, but also that tension isn't necessarily visible to the people that we're trying to sell it to. We need to be on the right side of the regulatory landscape while also bringing new products and new services to market in an exciting way.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And I think also then the challenge, you know, by implication is doing that at scale and consistently. So that brings a fresh kind of a fresh hurdle to overcome. And finally, Gemma, what are your thoughts on this?
On this, I'd say in its simplest form, it would just be making people do their jobs easier. Mm. And then if you look at that from what these two have just said, I think it's completely right that knowledge is that key to making the job easier, but not everyone can know everything. So sometimes that enablement factor is giving people access to that knowledge that you have. So sharing it, if you like.
Thank you. And thank you all for those initial thoughts. I think that now that we're warmed up a little bit, let's delve into today's topic, which first came to my attention in a recent Forbes article entitled The Cost of Cutting Corners. I think in uncertain times of economic decline, and that's certainly what we've been living through recently, many businesses are looking at cutting costs. But I think when it comes to marketing, we need to ask a further question, which is, can you afford to stop? And I think particularly within financial services, where dynamic personalization, you know, providing the right message at the right time in the right way, as I like to think of it as that martini moment, that can be key to client experience. And I'm really looking forward to our conversation today to unpack this hot topic. Now, as our regular listeners will know, each of our podcasts is split out in terms of our seismic earthquake terminology. So beginning with looking at the tremors, where the movement started, the epicenter, where we are now, and then make our predictions for the future. What will be the aftershocks? So let's start with the tremors. Let's look back at how marketing has fitted around economic ups and downs. And so I'm interested to know, What has that landscape looked like in your own careers? So, Amy, if you would like to start us off.
I think looking back, when times are good, you've got high spends, you've got space to test and learn, you've got bigger budgets to focus on brand rather than pure direct acquisition. You can look at sponsorships and activation, and there's all of these new and exciting channels that are open to you, and you can test in that way. That's kind of the good days, as it were. You've got those budgets. But then there's also what can come with that. You can end up in a position where you've got big teams. Growth has happened really quickly, and there's been a real focus on just getting hands on deck, and teams can become quite bloated quite quickly. And so I think there's a real need to make sure that in those good times that you are hiring strategically with a view to the future. I think there's also a risk when times are good and you have those big marketing budgets. You can go down the rabbit hole of kind of death by KPIs and vanity metrics, kind of a, look, we're so busy, we're doing all of this exciting stuff without actually taking time to really assess if activity is a growth lever and if it's doing what you need it to do within your business.
I love what you said there, Amy, in periods where you've got lots of budget, that's your time to test and learn. And it's almost like that investment time, isn't it, to start investing in that testing and learning so that you've got knowledge behind you when you lose the budget to know what works and what doesn't and streamline. I really love that idea of looking at how you can spend your money wisely for the downturns in the future, because we all know that it's an up and down economy all the time. It's never always good. It's never always bad. And I love that idea.
Yeah, that's very true. We're always riding this wave, and hindsight is a wonderful thing. So I think you've got some really good points that you've brought out there, Amy. I agree, Gemma. Caroline, what was your experience? What are the good days like when marketing, the envelope spends are high compared to when they're minimal or nil?
So I think that there is always good days in marketing.
Glass half full.
Glass half full. Well, we do need that, right? Yeah. We do need that for sure. So I try. I think for me, whether, we've been in strong economies or weaker economies, I've always felt almost year on year that we're trying to achieve kind of more with less, whether that's, a upturn or not. And so I think as marketers, we're really, really positioned to do more with less, because I think certainly for me as a mindset, that's something that got experience of doing. And so, but again, that channels the creativity, right?
Yeah.
So you do need to think outside the box so that you can get to those same results. And also going back to Amy's point that we need to review our KPIs and think which ones of these really, really matter, which ones of these do add to the bottom line of the business. What are we using these metrics for? And not be blinded by the metrics. So it comes back to often, I think, and it sounds really old school, I'm going to show my age now, but it also comes down to, I guess, being a marketing generalist. And I think when we are in times where we are having to adapt and do more with less, to have that generalist mindset, both at the helm of the team, but also within your teams, means that you can be a lot more agile, because you will have those teams with a really broad skill set. And I think that's really important. And I also think that you need to keep quite an entrepreneurial mindset, right? So you have to try things with less, without the budget. And so you need to think creatively on how to do that.
Yeah, I love that. And I really love the point around creativity as well. And I'm going to bounce this over to Gemma, because you're well known for your creative flair. So how did it affect your creativity, kind of pre-hybrid working? So when folks were office bound, how did that affect creativity? And I'd say, how has that changed the marketing landscape, do you feel?
So I always think, same as what Caroline's just said, you almost create the magic where you've got that pressure to create more with less. I always say it's like where they say diamonds are formed under pressure. You're under pressure and you get that diamond out of it. And I always find it quite fun because you get to be creative around what you can do with less or zero budget, as I've been in sometimes.
And it does go back to that entrepreneurial side as well, you know, because I speak to a lot of founders and they say that they have to have that mindset about them all the time for not having budget, whether it's a good market or a bad market as well. So you can always create something. I'll go back to Caroline's half full idea earlier. You can always create something. It's just what can you create? It's like booking a holiday, isn't it? You know, okay, where can you go within that budget? You know, you're not always going to choose the faraway land that you want to go to, but you can still make a great holiday out of it. I started my career back in the early 2000s when IT in banking, as it was called then, very chunky name, it was, you know, it was just starting to boom. And then by 2008, we were officially in a recession. So it was a really good time to start my career and see that actually you can work your way through a recession and you can do all of those magical things with next to no money. And it's a great time, I think, for anybody to start their career because things can then only get better. I'd say successful marketing is always about consistency. So don't ever stop. That's never going to help anyone. Keep moving forward, even if it's little movements. It's always moving forward. I see Caroline nodding her head. So glad somebody's agreeing with you. And I'd say that this time around, the difference that we have is hindsight. So we can look back and we can see figures. You know, I looked at some figures before this podcast and it said that in the 2008 recession, while many businesses decided to cut their marketing budget and it actually dropped by 13%, statistics showed that 3.5 times more brand visibility came out for those companies and organizations that maintained their marketing output. So keep moving forward, even if it's small movements, just keep doing it and be consistent.
Absolutely. And also zoning in on what matters most to your clients, right? So if you have less budgets, if you have less spend, and if you have less resource, you almost need to go back to basics from an external positioning point of view as well, and look at your core target segments of customers and what matters to them and how can you show that you're supporting them. So I think downturns and recessions are also really nice opportunities for financial institutions to market to clients, right? And I think really then you have the opportunity as a brand to build that trust with your clients and show them that you're there with them in the hard times. And that can lead
They're also in hard times, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there is that relationship and there is that partnership that then forms during those times of hardship.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm loving the optimism, but I completely agree. I think when you go through tough times together with your clients or within your organization, that's when you really form those strong bonds. And I think also the theme that's coming out about doing more with less, I think will be something that we're going to revisit as we continue this conversation. And one thing I wanted to touch on, whilst we're thinking about the tremors, whilst we're thinking about the way things have been recently, I wanted to bring out the hybrid working piece, because I think that that's something that inevitably, you know, forms part of our landscape. And I wanted to come to you, Amy, because I know in our previous discussion, we talked a little bit about hybrid working and how you can really address that when running and coaching a marketing team in that kind of environment. So I'd like to bounce that one over to you to unpack a little bit.
So, yeah, I think when we look back and when we were office bound 5 days a week, which still feels kind of crazy now we've moved into this more flexible hybrid working environment, it has some benefits to it. You know, being in the office 5 days a week, it can create a deeper sense of camaraderie. But it also means that some voices don't necessarily get heard. The louder people can impact the culture of a business. You can end up in a position where that's been driven by the few and not the many. And I think the move to hybrid working has been hugely beneficial for many people in many different ways, from work-life balance, for enabling more women to stay within the workforce and to progress within their careers, working with flexible organizations. There's huge benefits to it, but I also think it comes with a challenge in that you do want to create that sense of team culture. And also when you think of more junior members of a team starting out in their careers within marketing, for example, you do or you can miss that kind of learning by osmosis thing that you get from being in an office, being surrounded by people and just hearing the conversations, mm-hmm. you know. learning that there's a new product about to be launched soon, but they're not quite ready to do the big kickoff meeting with the marketing team yet. But you can start to pick up on these things. And we know that financial services and fintech, we love an acronym. And we have a huge kind of glossary of these things at ClearBank to help people. But there's nothing like being in the office with people to just say, what does that actually mean? And to get that explanation rather than having to send a Teams message where you might feel a bit silly.
Or even hearing how other people describe something or how they would describe a product rather than just reading about it. You know, you can pick up little nuances in what works in describing something and how you then pitch that from a marketing angle. You know, if you hear how they sell it and then you suddenly think, actually, if I change my wording slightly, it would align with them more. And just hearing those conversations around the office that you're not part of, but earwigging, obviously, as I am. I've just given away my my tips. And I also worry like how those people will then hear about what's above them and, you know, climb that career ladder when they're siloed only into conversations that they're invited in on a Zoom meeting or something, if they're not hearing them externally through the office floor and that kind of thing.
Exactly that. And I think particularly for people kind of earlier in their careers as well, it can lead to it taking longer for them to be able to truly add value because they're not hearing those things that, as you say, they're not in those meetings unless they're specifically invited to them because it's remote. And that can be a real challenge and that knowledge sharing element. And the tech that has enabled us all to work remotely is great. And in some occasions, it can give other voices the opportunity to be heard, you know, people who might not be comfortable standing up in person in a meeting, for example. But it does come with its own special set of challenges as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think meetings can be a little bit of a black hole, can't they? If you're not involved in those meetings, you don't know what's happened in those meetings. And when you're going up a learning curve, as Gemma says, you know, that can be quite a challenge. No, thank you for that, Amy. I think that's a really valuable perspective. One thing we haven't talked about yet, because obviously we've been talking about the way the world used to be to a certain extent, is how technology has shifted the dial on some of these elements, such as, for example, the recording of meetings, which I've seen rise throughout the financial services industry in recent years. And I wonder if they can use these recordings to plug that gap and allow people to be privy to conversations they weren't part of.
That's a really good idea there, Rachel, and I can see that happening. I've seen recordings in the FS industry rise incredibly, and I can only see that happening more in sectors like wealth management as we go forward.
So I guess now's a good time to move to the epicentre. So we're moving forward to today. So it's a turbulent time, I think we'd all agree. So how do you balance cost pressure driven by the current economic climate with the need to maintain marketing spend, so the need for marketing to support the team to sail a company through the downturn? And I think to start that piece of our conversation, Caroline, I'd be really keen to get your thoughts on this.
Again, it comes back to having a team that are generalists rather than having a large team with many who are specialists. And I think going back to the hybrid working discussion as well, it demands more from the leadership within the business to create an environment where culture and collaboration and all these things continue to thrive as people are working in a hybrid model. And I think what we've seen now is that, you know, people are really happy to be back into the office. They want to come to town halls. They want to interact with each other in that way. And that's fantastic. That's fantastic to see that there is that engagement there and that want from staff to collaborate and work together. And then I think as well, we've been talking about doing more with less. Technology is helpful there as well. So we're talking about, you know, the impact of AI and what's that going to look like going forward? And I think there is going to be a lot of opportunity using technology to help with the cost constraints in the marketing budget.
I completely agree. You need an effective and nimble team. So, and that can come from more generalist roles. Your team need to have the ability to roll their sleeves up and get things done in a difficult time. there needs to be this focus on execution. It's not necessarily always the time for the big picture thinking. It's the, right, we're in this together and we need to help sail the ship, direct it, keep doing what we're doing, if not increase what we're doing, be more creative, think outside of the box. So there has to be that real focus on execution and being nimble and not just being stuck in your specialist silo.
Yeah, so I completely agree with that. And then when we look at technology, what's really interesting at the moment is that you've got all of this enablement technology and AI, which is allowing generalists to then hyper-focus by using that technology and become specialists in certain areas. A bit like going back to that beginning part of the conversation where knowledge is key. We're not expecting everybody to know everything. What we're doing is saying, let's use technology to make sure everybody has access to what they need to do, what they need to know to then do their jobs properly. So that, to me, is that enablement piece that technology is supplying that allows us to navigate that ship. You know, whether it's high tide or low tide, we can navigate through it with that marketing plan of being consistent. And I think touching then onto what you were talking about on the hybrid side, I think the pandemic taught us all that we all need that human interaction. And I don't know if it's that then emphasized this springboard of AI and technology, but it's really interesting how since the pandemic, there is a much higher push, and I'd be interested to hear if Caroline and Amy agree with this. There's a much higher push for marketing to be personalized. And it's almost like we were craving that human element as a society in so many layers that now marketing is so driven by that.
For sure. But I think also that the authenticity has to remain within that need for personalization. And so we've almost seen in the fintech space, we've almost seen that this over personalized digital service is not really being felt at the heart of the consumer and at the customers. And so I think it's really, really important for brands who are using these. Enabling tech was a really nice word. Mm. Thank you, Gemma. I've learned that new today. That whilst we're using all these tools, that we make sure that we do them in line with our brand, in line with our corporate values, in line with our USPs, so that those customer touch points remain consistent and authentic. Yeah. And I think brands who don't do that will struggle because consumers are expecting more from brands now in terms of sustainability, ethical focus, and so on and so forth. And so brands really need to make sure that they stay authentic to who they are whilst using those tools.
We need to remember that we're still marketing and selling to human beings. And while AI and all of this enabling tech might influence decision-making processes or be a first round of in an RFP process or something like that, ultimately, the final decisions are still being made by people. And AI and all of this enabling tech, it's ultimately a tool that's as useful as the people putting it to work.
Yeah, I completely agree. I always feel like this AI topic goes off into, I'm showing my age here, into like a tomorrow's world sort of style event. But, and, you know, talks about what it could do of the future and how it could take over people's jobs. But it's not about that. In the here and now, it's about enabling the humans to do their job properly. And something I recently read was that AI is very good at solving big data problems and human brains are very good at solving small data problems. And so actually, when you mix those two together, that's powerful. Yeah. And that is, going back to what we said at the beginning, that is what's going to enable financial services, is that point where it hits and it mixes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, to keep it pragmatic, it's around where AI really plays in workflows and how we can make those more efficient and more effective. To your point, Amy, and you know, with the human face, because at the end of the day, people deal with people. And so I think that piece is really critical. And I think just to dwell it, because we're on a very interesting kind of area of conversation here. So just to dwell on it a little bit more, there was a report by Deloitte recently. I'm not sure if you saw it. Talking about the strides in technology and data, which have really now elevated the CMO role into the boardroom. And this is a question for everybody. I'd be really interested to understand how technology and the intersection of technology and the ability to hyper-personalize, how has that changed your role today?
I think there's a real difference in that depending on if you are within financial services or fintech as a B2B marketer or a B2C marketer. And I'm on the B2B side of it, B2B to C in some cases, in the nature that ClearBank works. The section between tech and marketing has changed hugely. And we are in a position where we can get into that hyper-personalization and we can start to look at that. And we're kind of just at the beginning of that journey at ClearBank. But it is starting to open those doors and starting to have those conversations across the business to really understand, okay, what can we do here? What is the best message to deliver to these particular clients or prospects at this particular time? What should we be highlighting and what should we be talking to them about? What do they care about? Rather than a kind of broad brush approach to marketing. So it is a really interesting time to be a marketer, and we are shifting hugely towards more personalization, more meaningful interactions, even on the B2B side, which is historically in financial services, let's be honest, been a little bit dry.
I think you're right. I think what's changed during my career that I've seen and the shifts that have changed is that the different areas of business connect more with marketing now than ever before. And so actually, when you start working with the sales teams, the customer success teams, the product teams, and you have that interaction and those kind of cross sections, if you like, you do start to create much more personalized content because you understand the customer from so many different angles. And whether that be B2B or B2C, it's still that same strategy of, okay, what is it that they are looking for and how can I deliver them that content? And I think when you work with sales or other teams and you can put together that content strategically so it is personalized, you are going to get it used more by the company as well. Because, you know, gone are the days where, I don't know, you create something that's, you know, very clever because we're all marketeers and we're very clever. And then you think, right, where's it gone? Who's used it? Who's seen it? Whereas actually when you create it together with the other teams, there is going to be that use of it across the company much more. In fact, I did look this up beforehand. I am cheating slightly, looking down at a sheet. It says that when you've created your content with sales, it's 350% more likely to be used by them.
And I think to add to both those points, I think absolutely, Amy, I completely agree with you. The way that we're now approaching B2B marketing and communications, it's very much also being driven by, if you look at research, it's attracting a lot more interest than I feel it's done historically from agencies who are now really going into creating target profiles for B2B customer segmentation.
We need to look forward as marketers in these difficult times. You know, we know that times of economic difficulty are cyclical. And we also know that innovation happens in these times. You've only got to look at the likes of Uber, Airbnb, et cetera. And when we come out of these times, we can see explosive growth, which is a really exciting position to be in. We know that investing in marketing and brand drives true value if you're looking to IPO or to sell. And it's a real false economy to cut back or neglect it when we do hit these trying times. That's not to say we shouldn't get creative. We shouldn't do what we know works and roll our sleeves up. But to fully cut back, it's a false economy.
That's such a good point, Amy. Yeah. And also, it is a beautiful segue. I couldn't have planned it better. Because I think if we now move to the future, so if we start talking about the aftershocks, so let's talk about where we see the future of marketing going. So if we take two companies, one which invests in marketing now, to your point, Amy, and one which doesn't, how do you think they would compare in the future? And I guess if we start with you, Caroline, what would be your prediction?
Well, as a marketeer, I think it's fairly obvious that I would never suggest not to invest in marketing and communications. I think that we need to, as heads of marketing or as the people responsible for the marketing function and budget, need to be really strong advocates
in our roles that the marketing is seen as an investment and not just a cost. And I think that that conversation we need to be very clear on and do that in a data-driven way.
I totally agree with that. I think the proof has to be in the pudding in terms of spend, and your point around investment and not cost, Caroline, is bang on. We as marketers then have the duty, as you said, to pull that together and to actually prove the ROI. And I think a lot of businesses can sometimes think, you know, oh, marketing, it's the softer stuff, it's the nice bits and bobs. And actually, no, it's cold, hard numbers. And that's where we need to get to as marketing leaders in order to help our businesses see that it is an investment and not a cost.
Completely agree. And the thing that I would liken it to is, if you think of it in this way, if you've spent all of that time planting the seeds, so you've invested in your marketing, and then a downturn happens and you don't water those seeds, they're not going to grow. So what's the point of having planted them in the first place? So you have to carry on doing something to see that growth. And to your point of looking forward, I think marketing will become more about, in the future, more about the growth of a company, and it will become part of that growth strategy more and more as we go on.
I totally agree. I think if we think in terms of client experience and the way that organizations are now really doubling down on being able to deliver a world-class client experience, because that is where the competitive advantage lies in many cases within FS, even within the B2B space, to your point earlier, Caroline, around people dealing with people. I wonder what your thoughts are around the role that marketing will play in the future in terms of organizational strategy.
So I think marketing will play a huge role. And I think marketing teams and communications teams are very often the bridge between the customer and the business. And so to nurture that relationship, if you like, is absolutely key. And it goes back to this authenticity that we were talking about earlier, that ensuring with the marketing and brand expertise that we have, we ensure that that authenticity and those USPs are consistent, whether it's a digital customer touch point or whether it's a relationship-driven one. And I think that's really, really important that we as marketers are there to be the constant reminder to the business.
You know, we're kind of right at that first point of contact, whether that's through the website as your shop window, as you say, or through an interaction on LinkedIn with a prospective customer, through to the way in which you speak to your employees and the tone of voice and how that employee value proposition and employer brand is communicated within the business. And where you see marketing add real value is when all of that comes together in a really holistic and cohesive approach that feels real, genuine, authentic, all of the good stuff that we've been talking about.
And I think going back to our first question, Rachel, marketing, everything we've just said there, marketing enables the company. So marketing is that enablement factor. Enablement factor, coined it here, hashtag. But it is, you know, everything we've said there is, yeah, what we're doing. This, yeah, is enabling financial services, whether it be through growth, navigating bad times, good times, whether it be bringing the customer's voice in or the sales voice in, or nurturing those clients that we already have. Everything comes back to marketing, and marketing does become that enablement factor.
Thank you, Gemma. That was beautifully tied up. It feels like we came full circle in our discussion today. I mean, we covered a lot of ground. It feels like we've only scratched the surface. I think there's probably a lot more that we could kind of dig into. But I would like to thank you all for being our guests for this discussion. Before we wrap up, I'd like to ask you to summarize in one word your takeaway from today's session. So one word and one sentence, why that word?
Yeah, I'll go. So I'm looking at Gemma, and for me, the word of today is enablement. And I think it's exactly that glue that we're going to be needing going forward. And so we need to position ourselves, and it's a paragraph already, not a sentence, but we need to position ourselves as the enablers, as the advocates, as the customer advocates, as the employee advocates.
Okay, and because Caroline's taken my word, I'll have to go with my second word. And second word of today, I would say is streamlining. It really fits in with all of the conversation we've just had about how we need to streamline, whether we're in good times or bad times, back to the core functions of what we need to do in marketing.
For me, it's nimble. The discussion that we've had, the importance of being flexible, being adaptable and nimble within these times, and having the ability to roll our sleeves up to get things done.
Excellent. Thank you all very much for a great conversation. Thank you all for joining us today. Join us next time.
You've been listening to Seismic Sessions, enabling the financial services industry. Don't forget to like and subscribe to stay up to date with the latest opinions on all things revenue enablement within the financial sector.